The baptismal vows of the United Methodist Church begin with the words, "Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price." That's an apt description of grace, which is the subject of our worship today. God's gift of new life given with no strings attached. The familiar story of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel is one of the best conversation starters on the subject of grace. We love this story and the stories that precede it, dealing with a lost coin and a lost sheep. We love them because they are relatable. Now, that coin, it gets lost through no fault of its own. But when it's found, there is great rejoicing for the woman and her friends. Likewise, the sheep wanders off of its own accord, though probably not with deceptive or deliberate intentions. Like the woman, the shepherd is full of joy when he locates the missing one and brings it back into the fold. The son, however, actively chooses his own path. He asks for his inheritance. He leaves home and travels to foreign places, squanders his money on pleasures that don't have a lasting value. When the money runs out, he finds work slopping hogs. Hungry, tired, disillusioned, he longs for home and decides to return. Hoping his father will hire him to work in the fields, the son makes his way there. But unbeknownst to him, his father has been keeping vigil, watching and waiting for the wayward son to return. The minute his father spots him, his father runs toward him, and he hugs him, and he weeps over him. He clothes him. He restores him to the family. This is more than just a welcome. This is love with no strings attached, a gift offered without price. This is grace at its finest. You might recall that last week I shared to you some words from Solomon from the book of Ecclesiastes. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. God has set a glimpse of eternal glory in each one of us. God has also set a longing for the eternal within us, a longing for this unconditional love and grace that comes from God, a longing for this welcome home. And yet, even though we are programmed for it, too often we find this grace unbelievable and unfathomable. Witness Jean Valjean. In Victor Hugo's classic novel, Les Misérables, we first meet Jean Valjean in his youth. I may have already said this several times, but I'm going to repeat it once more. If you haven't read the story, or if you haven't read it in a long time, it is worth your while to pick the book up and get familiar with it, or view one of the films or recordings of the musical. While it is not considered Christian literature in the strictest sense, its themes shed light on the Christian path just as surely as Jesus' parables do. At the beginning of Les Misérables, we learn that Jean Valjean has a sister and she has a baby. The issue of children and poverty I will address another week. For now, it's enough to understand that these young ones, Valjean, his sister, her baby, are alone and starving. They are in danger. So one night, Valjean breaks into a bakery and steals a loaf of bread. But he's caught, sent to prison. He escapes and the authorities track him down, and as punishment, he is sentenced to hard labor in a prison camp. And after years of captivity, Valjean is freed, but with the caveat that every ex-convict receives. Wherever he goes, he must show his status card, his yellow ticket of leave. Valjean discovers that his past follows him. An employer pays him half what the other workers earn because of the yellow ticket. He's refused a room or even a meal at the inn because of the yellow ticket. Cold and hungry and despairing, Valjean seeks refuge in the doorway of a church where Father Bienvenu, whose name means welcome, finds him and takes him in. The priest gives him warm water to bathe himself and invites him to the supper table with the rest of the household and gives him a room for the night. But after the household is asleep, Valjean creeps downstairs, steals the silver that graced the dinner table, and runs away. The local guards capture him, and he claims the silver was a gift from Father Bienvenu, so the guards bring him back to the priest, who looks Valjean in the eye as he affirms Valjean's defense. Yes, the silver was a gift, but my friend, he adds, you left so quickly you must have forgotten I gave you these also. And he hands Valjean the pair of candlestick holders from the mantle. With no criminal charges to be filed, the guards depart, and so does Jean Valjean, but he doesn't quite know what to make of this encounter with grace. He knows, though, that if he sells that silver, he'll be able to start a new life. But he keeps the candlestick holders. Throughout his life, they remind him of this unexpected and unfathomable gift of grace. As the years roll by, Valjean is faced with opportunity after opportunity to show grace to others. He runs a successful factory, but he has hired an unscrupulous manager. Valjean cares little what happens on the factory floor among the employees, so when a young woman is fired without cause, he pays no attention. Except weeks later, he encounters her in the streets where she's out of work and desperately ill. She confronts him with her truth. Valjean let the foreman fire her without hearing her side of the story. And now she is dying, and who will care for her child? Faced with his own complicity in this plight, Valjean adopts the little girl and vows to raise her as every child deserves to be raised, in security and in safety. He's beginning to learn that the grace he received is a grace that also must be shared. The years go by, the child he adopted is now a young woman who falls in love with a French revolutionary. A man and his friends are ready to face the French army. Valjean volunteers to fight beside them, hoping to keep the young man safe for his daughter's sake. But in the process, he also comes face to face with his former jailer, a man who has hunted him for years. This former jailer is now a spy for the French army, and Valjean has the chance to kill him. But grace wins. He shows the former jailer what true forgiveness and grace look like. He sets the man free. It's not a choice he could have made 20 years earlier, probably not even 10 years earlier. It has taken him a lifetime to find the grace to forgive. It's what John Wesley would call sanctifying grace, the grace that is always at work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace in which we are always learning and growing. Our baptismal vows term that faithful discipleship. To be a disciple of anyone or anything is to be a learner, gaining skill and knowledge and then putting them into practice. Christian discipleship is a lifelong commitment to learning the ways of Jesus, to not only receive, but to give compassion, love, and grace. What might that look like? The parable of the prodigal son tells us grace looks like unconditional love and the absence of judgment. No matter where his son has been or what he has done, no matter that he squandered his inheritance or did something as abhorrent as working with pigs, animals that are unclean in his religious expression, the father welcomes his son home. Grace looks like healing. His son expected a very different greeting given how he had hurt his father. He thought that there was a rift. He expected that to be apparent. His father only showed him love. Grace looks like forgiveness. As far as the parable tells us, the wrong is wiped from the slate, not something to be thrown in the young man's face later on. Grace looks like mercy. The older son offers us a glimpse of the very human responses of jealousy and pride. The father chooses not to dwell there, but to move past those feelings and to rejoice. In the season of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter, our tradition invites us to spend this holy season with an increased emphasis on Lenten disciplines, which are a kind of training for us learners, us disciples. In the weeks between today and Easter, Christ followers are invited to spend more energy in prayer, in fasting from the practices that harm our relationships, including the ones with ourselves, to engage in charitable acts as we repent and turn back from those practices that keep us from God. Examining Jean Valjean's story helps us to see more clearly our own path through life. Valjean faced horrible circumstances early in life that made him angry and bitter. The kindness and mercy one man showed him altered him in such a way that he spent the rest of his life learning how to give others the grace he received. His story inspires ours. If there's hope for Jean Valjean to find grace and give grace, there is hope for us all. May our Lenten journey be marked by faithful discipleship, by learning and growing and practicing the ways of Jesus. May the grace we have received become manifest in our lives in unconditional welcome, in steps toward healing relationships, in forgiveness for wrongs, and in acts of mercy. Amen.